Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast. All right, so I have insomnia, but I've never slept better. And what's changed? Just a pillow. It's had such a positive impact on my life. And of course, I'm talking about MyPillow. I fall asleep faster, I stay asleep longer, and now you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Use the promo code Hannity, and Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, has the special four-pack. Now you get 40% off two MyPillow premiums and two Go Anywhere pillows. Now MyPillow is made here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity, to get Mike Lindell's special four-pack offer. You get two MyPillow premium pillows and two Go Anywhere pillows for 40% off. And that means once those pillows arrive, you start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep that you've been craving and you certainly deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. You will love this pillow. Happy Friday. Write down our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of this extravaganza. It is 800-941-SEAN. How many of you think after the unmitigated disaster that was last night that government is good and caring and solution-oriented and does the work of the American people? How many of you maybe thought that government was capable of solving your problems in life? I want to start with one thing, and I'm going to spend a lot of time on the Republicans here in a second, but there was Chuck Schumer joining Joe Biden, joining Nancy Pelosi. They're so ecstatic and so happy in applauding John McCain's broken promise last night and his defection. And, you know, during a press conference, you know, there's Chucky saying that we've been friends for a very long time, ever since the Gang of Eight, which we put together. I have not seen a senator who speaks truth to power as strongly, as well, as frequently as John McCain. And he goes on and on and on. Joe Biden, you know, he went out there with his gratitude to everyone who worked so tirelessly to protect health care. You know, obviously, John McCain and let's Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins, and Nancy Pelosi thanking the three Republicans in the Senate. Yet Mo Brooks, I think, is more on target, calling on Mitch McConnell to step down in the wake of his epic failure, which I'll get to in a second as well today. Do you think you have been served well by your government? Now, for all the giddy Democrats that are celebrating and happy, well, I want you to remind you what it is you're celebrating. You are celebrating the biggest lie perpetrated on the American people staying in place. You are celebrating more broken promises to the American people than perhaps any other single bit of legislation that was ever passed in this country. You are celebrating the precipitous decline, the death spiral, as the CEO of Aetna described, of the Obamacare exchanges. There are more people in more counties that have zero choices because of the government incompetence and failure. We've had millions of Americans, in spite of, they knew the truth was that millions would lose their coverage. They knew that millions would lose their beloved doctors, the people that they wanted to take care of themselves and their family. They knew it was a lie that on average, the average American's going to save $2,500 per family per year. As we have now watched the costs of health care skyrocket between $6,000 and $8,000 on average more a year since Obamacare has been put in place. This year alone, people of Arizona, you're very happy with your Senator John McCain, the deciding vote last night. Okay, 116% increase out there for you this year alone. That does not include your new premium increases that will be in place for 2018. Or those of you that live in these counties that only have one choice, one doctor, well, you get the same thing. Now, let me tell you first and foremost why I'm not surprised, and I am angry, but angry for reasons that are a little different than you may think. In the process, after seven long, arduous years of promising the American people, the Republican Party, and I now have been saying it for years, they are spineless, they are gutless, they are visionless, and they are now a party without any identity. Let me be very crystal clear here. The Republican Party is supposed to be the party of freedom, the party of capitalism, the Constitution Party, the party that believes in competition and free markets as solutions to the problems we face, not top-down government-run solutions. They're supposed to be the alternative party. They begged for the House in 2010. They got it. They ran on repealing, replacing Obamacare. They wanted the Senate in 2014. They ran on repealing, replacing Obamacare. They wanted the House and the Senate and the White House, and then we'll get the job done. Now it's the House, the Senate, the White House, and you got to give us 60 senators, and then we'll get the job done, when they can easily get rid of the filibuster or the supermajority rule, as they did in the case of Neil Gorsuch, if they really cared, but they don't. Now, we began to see this wobbling of the Republicans early on, as we watched some 60-plus times Republicans in some way, shape, matter, or form say that, well, we're going to vote to repeal and replace Obamacare. We're going to repeal and replace Obamacare. And then they'd put on a big show, and they'd all be united, every one of them in the House. 2015, everyone in the Senate except for Susan Collins. Every one of them voted for a clean repeal of Obamacare, got to Obama's desk, Obama vetoes it, end of sentence. They didn't even get the clean repeal done this year. And what I noticed at the time, and I discussed in great length and detail at the time, I kept saying, these are show votes. They're not real votes. These were votes designed so that every Republican could go back to their district and tell you a lie. And the lie was, I voted to, well, it wasn't technically a lie. They did vote to repeal and replace Obamacare when it was meaningless. And it was all a vote to put on a show so they could tell you something, that they believe something. And then we learned when the House was debating repealing and replacing that there's about 100 liberal Republicans or more that had no intention of ever repealing and replacing Obamacare, and that's why the bill that ultimately the Freedom Caucus was able to thread the needle, I was willing to take imperfect. The perfect bill would be the things that I have discussed at length for 15 years on this program, health savings accounts and cooperatives, which I'll get to also today. That, and then it became clear, right, so we got to go with the next best thing. Let's get rid of these taxes. Let's create an atmosphere where health savings accounts cooperatives can prosper. Let's create a system where at least young people who under Obamacare, and they still are today, they are burdened with paying. They can't buy a catastrophic plan. They have to buy plans they don't want, they don't need, that are astronomical in terms of cost, or they pay a huge tax and penalty, and government has ripped away their choices, any potential competition. They took away the option of a catastrophic plan, which is illegal under Obamacare, where if you get insurance, maybe you include in your insurance one checkup a year. If you're 28 years old, what else do you need? The odds are you're going to be healthy. But if, God forbid, you have that bad accident, or God forbid you get the cancer, or God forbid you have a heart attack at a young age, most people don't. But that's what insurance is for. It's like having car insurance. God forbid you run a stoplight because you weren't paying attention and you hit somebody else's car, and God forbid they break their leg and you got to pay for it. Well, the insurance company pays for it because that's what insurance is for. And the insurance company will take care of the damage to their car. Well, if you have a heart attack, get cancer, or have a bad accident, well, that's catastrophic insurance. It's very, very relatively inexpensive, because it only happens under the rare instance where something happens like that to somebody of that age. And that's the benefit. It's illegal. It still remains illegal today. So after all these years, this is what was missing this entire week. And I'm going to make two exceptions, but there are others. And I'm not trying to, you know, Rand Paul was true to his convictions, probably didn't even want to vote for the skinny bill last night, but he decided he'd do it for the sake of the country. And he did it because he got something, maybe 20% of what he really wanted last night. And the whole idea wasn't even the skinny bill. All they wanted to do was ram this into the conference, meaning the House bill and the Senate bill would get into conference, and they try to hammer out a bill in there with living under some fantasy that they could actually come out with a bill that Murkowski and John McCain and Collins and these other people, you know, would ultimately support. I think it was fantasy thinking on their part. But short of Senator Ted Cruz actually found a way that we could lower premiums 35% right off the bat. And he worked hard to get it. It was increasing competition in the marketplace, a Republican idea for health care. That's been missing all week. And I watched last night. I didn't hear people passionately saying, let me tell you about Dr. Josh Umber. This guy Hannity's been interviewing since 2012 on his radio and TV show. He has it set up that for $50 a month, an adult, and $10 a month for a kid, you get unlimited care, 24-hour access to a doctor. A night, you walk out like 5 cents a pill. You pay for your prescriptions. He's negotiated directly with pharmaceuticals. And if you need, you know, an X-ray, it's 48 cents. And if you couple the $50 a month with that catastrophic plan I just mentioned for a heart attack, cancer, or bad accident, wow, for $200 a month, you have the same type of care as wealthy people in this country that can afford to pay doctors right out of their pocket. And that would be for the working men and women that deserve it in this country, that absolutely deserve that kind of care. Or the health savings accounts. Hannity's been talking about this Cato Institute book for years, Musgrave and Goodman, and it's called Patient Power. And if you can build your own IRA and throughout your life and your younger years, you keep building and building and building and you invest it carefully, and that money grows and grows and grows. And, you know, next thing you know, you're only getting a checkup once a year. It incentivizes a checkup, and the health savings account pays for that. And then the rest of the money gathers and gathers and gathers until you're 65, 70, and God forbid you need a knee replacement, a hip replacement, you have a heart attack, you need stents, whatever it is. And then that money is there and available for you. And that's what's been missing all week. And but for the Freedom Caucus and Ted Cruz, and I'll say a couple of others, you know, Rand Paul, one of them, you haven't heard the Republican Party. Who ever heard after 7 long years of, hey, guys, you got any toilet paper? Let's okay, all right, you got a bottle of water? All right, give me the toilet paper. Let's crunch it up into a little ball. All right, put some water on it. Let me throw it up against the wall, see if this idea sticks. How could they be so ill-prepared for the moment, the moment that they've been begging for? What does this party stand for? The Republican Party has no identity. Are they the party of liberty, the Constitution? Are they the party of capitalism, of choice, free markets, free market competition, health savings accounts, healthcare cooperatives? You know, John McCain says we have no ideas. Their failure is our gain. No, we've been offering solutions, the penny plan to balance the budget and live within our means and stop robbing our kids, a border wall to protect the country from those that want to bring us harm or that come across and compete at lower wages for American jobs with the lowest labor participation rate since the 70s, 50 million Americans in poverty on food stamps. We're the ones that have been saying identify radical Islam. We have been pushing energy independence on this program, choice in education on this program, real solutions for real times. And the best we get out of Republicans is rolling toilet paper into a ball and throwing against the wall after 7 years. It is pathetic. The Democrats failed you with their lies, their incompetence, their failed health care, and the Republicans have failed you too. They all suck. They're just awful. And I'll say this. The only person that's got a vision, and you see it at every one of his rallies and an idea, is the president. And where are we going to go from here? And those of you that believe in government, you really believe in government today? You think the government's the answer? You think the government's going to help you? I don't think so. We need... Americans are suffering. Americans are hurting. America is in a precipitous decline. You know, a lot of people say, oh, Hannity's a big Trump booster and a big Trump supporter. I support the agenda. I support the idea of repealing, replacing Obamacare and getting the job done. I like free market solutions, health savings accounts, and healthcare cooperatives. I like the idea of middle-class tax cuts, 15% corporate rate, which would become one of the lowest in the industrialized world. I like the idea of trillions being repatriated back to America to incentivize multinationals to buy factories and build them and manufacturing centers to get Americans in Wisconsin and Ohio and Michigan and Pennsylvania and everywhere else in the country back to work. I support America being energy independent so we don't count on countries that hate our guts for the lifeblood of our economy, which is energy. I support securing our border. I support a strong national defense that doesn't send men and women into harm's way every 5 minutes only to declare never mind after thousands lose their legs and lives. I support an idea that we recognize evil in our time. I want an intelligence community like the 99% of good people in intelligence that do their job. We give them the weapons of warfare and not use it against the American people. You know, these are certain basic fundamental ideas. I've not changed. I believe in freedom and liberty and the Constitution and capitalism and choice and free market competition. And I believe in eliminating, like the president already has, burdensome regulation that is stifling business growth and hurting the opportunities of many Americans. Just like another reason to secure the border is those Americans that are losing their jobs because people will come into the country illegally, work for next to nothing. Never mind the millions of people here illegally that put enormous burdens that cost us billions and billions every year for our healthcare system, our educational system, and our criminal justice system. You know, these are simple, basic, fundamental ideas. And the Republican Party, and I'm not a Republican, I'm a registered conservative, that the Republican Party said they stood for. And don't tell me the Democrats that are all giddy today. They already blew it with their lies and doubling of the national debt and 13 million more Americans on food stamps and 8 million more in poverty. I don't need lectures from them that they're happy that the precipitous decline of our healthcare system is going to continue. They all suck. They've all hurt you. And those that have believed in government, I hope you open your eyes now.
Holding them accountable. Sean gets the answers no one else does. America deserves to know the truth about Congress.
I was going to answer that.
Just please go straight to
and
the answer.
Mr. Chairman, I thought when you read the rules, you acknowledged that I shouldn't be interrupted and that I would have
reclaiming my time. What he failed to tell you was when you're on my time, I can reclaim it. He left that out, so I'm reclaiming my time. Please, will you respond to the question of why I did not get a response, me and my colleagues, to the May 23rd letter?
Well, I was going to tell you my response.
Just tell me.
Okay. So, first of all, okay, let me just say that the Department of Treasury has cooperated extensively with the Senate Intel Committee, with the House
reclaiming
Intel
my
Committee,
time,
with the Senate Judiciary
reclaiming
Committee.
My time,
okay.
Reclaiming
matter of fact,
my time.
Mr. Secretary, the time belongs to the gentlelady from California.
Perhaps, Mr. Chairman, I don't understand the rules because
reclaiming
I thought I was
time.
Allowed to answer questions.
Reclaiming my time, would you please explain the rules and do not take that away from my time?
We will give the gentlelady adequate time. So what I read, Mr. Secretary, were statements of the ranking member and Democratic colleagues on how administration witnesses should be treated, not necessarily the way they will be treated. So the time belongs to the gentlelady from California, but I assure you majority members will allow you to answer the question when it is our time.
Okay. So what I was saying is that we have provided substantial information. We believe there's significant overlap. And matter of fact, I would say that we spoke to your chief oversight counsel yesterday. We have been responsive, and we are trying to coordinate with you the response. And we've suggested that you get the information through the other committees. But I would like to emphasize we believe we've been very responsive.
Reclaiming my time.
And we'll continue
to do
so.
Thank you very much. You left a message yesterday, or someone on staff left a message.
No, we didn't leave a message.
Reclaiming my time. Reclaiming my time.
Counsel.
Reclaiming my time. You did not respond. You left a message. Let us keep going.
Does that not illustrate everything that I'm saying to you? 24 now till the top of the hour, 800-941-SHAWN. If you want to join us, you want to be a part of the program. Millions of Americans lose their doctor, lose their care. They're paying $8 million more a year. Government promised just the opposite. A spectacular fail. A party runs to fix the mess, and they start throwing wet toilet paper up against the wall as some type of big academic plan so they can push the plan into conference with a House Speaker who says, get your job done, like we had to fight here for weeks and weeks and weeks and get our job done. And thank you, Freedom Caucus. Thank you, Ted Cruz. Thank you, Rand Paul. Rand Paul didn't want to vote for this bill. This was 15% of what he had, but he knows it's better, and he knows we had to do something. He did it because this was their solemn vow and promise. He knows he can't get everything he wants, but it would have been far better than what we had. And then we've got John McCain. He doesn't support a wall. He hates the president. And I know for a fact he and others, when doors close in the Senate, they trash this president. At least the president has ideas. Build the wall. Protect the country. Repeal and replace Obamacare. You guys have promised it for 7 years. And given the opportunity, I guess, like I have been telling everybody, there are five major forces that don't want this president to succeed and fulfill the agenda. Take the personality of Donald Trump out of this for a second. Take the person out. He tweets. Okay, I don't care. How about we get the country back on track? I've said many times, what was this election about? The forgotten men and the forgotten women. Who are the forgotten men and women of this country? My friend John McNaughton, drew this beautiful painting. If you can, Linda tweeted out the forgotten man. And the forgotten men and women, let's see. They're the 50 million Americans on food stamps today. That's 13 million more for you giddy Democrats when you were under power. You know, there's 50 million more in poverty. That's 8 million more, you giddy Democrats that are so ecstatic that your beloved Obamacare remains the law of the land. You know, it's how many Americans? We had the lowest labor participation rate, 94 plus million Americans out of the labor force. It was 95. We're making some progress in spite of themselves. It's pretty amazing. You know, who is the forgotten men and women? Okay, we have a 51-year low in America, the home ownership rate. Well, okay, I mean, it's all fine and dandy because I assume every one of these elitists in Washington that make false, phony promises, I'm sure all of them have nice homes that they go to every weekend, and many of them have homes in Georgetown, and there are other guys like Louis Gohmert that have to live in their office because they can't afford two homes because they've been busy serving the country. Now, I'm telling you right now, this is a moment of truth for this country. It just is. Those people, they went to the ballot box. The president is willing to sign it. And I've said this before, get your ass back in Washington, stop with the vacations, and all of you get in a room. And we ought to play tapes of all of you promising repeal and replace Obamacare, the dozens and dozens of times that all of you have, including Senator John McCain. You know, as feeling his oats, I guess. I don't know. I wish him the best.
That any serious attempt to improve our health care system must begin with full repeal and replacement of Obamacare, a mission I remain fully committed to fighting on behalf of the people of Arizona.
Oh, okay. Arizona had 116% premium increase this year alone. Premium increase. You know, and I've got to take issue with Senator McCain on this. And, you know, I've had a love-hate relationship with him. In this sense, I've always admired his military service. He served his country with great, great dedication, honor. I said I was glad to support him for president for that reason. I always thought his courage would rule the day, and incredible courage. He was offered a chance to leave the Hanoi Hilton. He was tortured and beaten, and he stayed because he didn't want to leave without his men. I will always, forever honor his service to this country. Always. But I also want him to keep his word and his promises, and we're praying for him to get well. But I will. But this is ridiculous. And then he's attacking those of us that do offer solutions and ideas. I remind Senator McCain that we outlined at the end of 2013 in the lead up to the 2014 election. Poor Ted Cruz got excoriated for reminding everybody that Republicans had the power, the purse, and the ability not to fund Obamacare. That's when it was pretty clear to me that these were show votes and they had no intention of keeping their promises, culminating last night with the wet toilet paper thrown up on a wall strategy as if that somehow is a vision for the country and that somehow is creative out-of-the-box solutions in spite of all of the rhetoric that we've had over the years. There are answers to the health care problem, and frankly, they're not that complicated if they would stick to their principles that they say they adhere to. Principles work. This is the opposite of what Reagan did in his life. Reagan had fundamental ideas and principles he stood for and fought for. What, we're going to take your feelings about the president? The president is right about the wall. The president's right about the economy and middle class cuts and corporate cuts and repatriation of multinational corporations. He's right about energy independence and the millions of high paying career jobs that can be created. He's right about the federal government can't run health care and we need free market solutions. And that's where health savings accounts come in and these co-ops that I talk about come in. But no, their failure. Let's blame talk radio. Let's blame cable news as McCain did this week.
Stop listening to the bombastic loudmouths on the radio and television and the internet. To hell with them. They don't want anything done for the public good. Our incapacity is their livelihood.
Really? You don't think we want something done for the public good? Well, unfortunately, I am not lying as some of these congressmen and women have been lying to the American people. I have very simple. Look, you don't have to be a genius to figure out how to solve these governmental problems. I talk about the economy. What did we learn from Reagan and JFK? A rising tide lifts all boats. Reagan dropped the top marginal rates from 70 to 28% throughout the course of his presidency. He created 20 million new jobs. Wow, the forgotten men and women today in Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio, Pennsylvania, they could use those 20 million jobs, couldn't they? He wanted to end burdensome government regulation, and he did. He doubled revenues to the federal government in 8 years. They had more money to spend than they ever dreamed of. Those were based on ideas. Republican Party, what are your ideas? I have ideas. Stop robbing our kids. Cut one penny out of every dollar you spend. Stop the baseline budgeting practices of 7, 8, 10% increases every year in every program. Live within your means. Stop stealing from our kids. Take one penny out of every dollar you balance the budget in 6 years. It's a simple plan, but I'm a simple guy. You know, you want to fix health care? Okay, well, Dr. Umber's going to be on in the next hour. I've wasted his time on this program. I have stolen time from this man. So he could explain healthcare cooperatives at $50 a month. You have access 24 hours a day, everything you'd ever need from a doctor for $50 a month. You couple it with catastrophic care if you get an accident, have a heart attack, or get cancer, God forbid. There are solutions. It's called free market competition. The doctor that offers the best service, lowest price, the insurer that offers the best service, lowest price, the most coverage for your dollar. You buy it across state lines. You bring it job to job. How hard is this? It's not that hard. You build the wall. You build the wall so people can't get through. You use the latest technology coupled with it. Boom, you got your border secure. ISIS or Al-Qaeda can't penetrate it, and nor can people come across the jobs and the millions that they come across the border and the millions that they have and put Americans out of work because they'll work for next to nothing. You got the added benefit of national security, and it's good for the economy, and it helps American workers. You get rid of burdensome regulation like the president has been doing since he got into office, and guess what? You unleash the power of corporate America to be able to compete on the world stage with countries that don't put in these ridiculous burdens on business that cost them trillions of dollars a year. You lower the taxes of individuals, the working men and women in this country, the corporations that aren't evil because they create the goods and services the people want, need, and desire. You put corporate taxes in place. They build factories and manufacturing centers. And again, we get Americans back to work. How hard is this? You got trillions of dollars that people can't bring into this country, multinational corporations. You tell them you get to bring it in for less than nothing, 5%, 10% tax, not a 50% tax or a 40% tax or a 35% tax. What are they going to do? They're not going to park it in a bank. You know, multinational corporations want to make goods and services and products. So they'll build new factories here, put American workers back to work here. This isn't that hard. There's nothing, if you stick to your principles, if you people had half an identity, you could get this done. But you don't stand for anything. It's all talk, no action. Who said that? The president. And you know what? Forget the personality. The only person that's saying, let's do this, build the wall. Let's become energy independent. Let's get rid of burdensome regulation. Let's repeal it and replace it. Let's count taxes here, 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 and here. It's August. He's been there since January. What the hell are these elected representatives doing in their time? In their barbershops we pay for, in their dining rooms we pay for, with their health care that we pay for, on their vacations that we pay for, that none of us ever have the type of vacation schedule they do. What in God's name have they been doing all this time? And then we end up not with health savings accounts, not them pitching free market capitalist ideas of competition that they supposedly believe in. No, we don't get any of that. We got the, they're not talking about healthcare cooperatives like Dr. Umber. No, they're talking about, okay, let's just give me some toilet paper. Quick, pour some water out. We'll throw that idea up. No, all right, that didn't work. Let's throw this ball of toilet paper up. Let's throw this ball of toilet paper up. That's leadership. And then they blame talk radio and cable TV and say, oh, our failures, you know, their financial gain. Well, Senator McCain, with all due respect, in spite of you spending time with me, because you always wanted to be on my program when you were running for office, you don't know me and you don't listen to me. Because I've been that forgotten man. I've been out of work. I've had no money. I haven't been able to pay my rent. And I know for decades of my life what it's like not to have money. And there are people suffering needlessly in this country because our government has failed them again. And you failed the people of this country yesterday with your show vote, no vote, and not even an opportunity to begin the process of undoing this monstrosity of a failure. 800. McConnell, just, I have no words for you. Just go. 800-941-SHAWN. Sad, we've all been lied to. We'll give you real solutions in the next hour. All right, hour two, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SHAWN. You want to be a part of the program, and we'll get back to the whole issue of healthcare at the bottom of the hour. Dr. Josh Umber's back from Atlas MD, and we'll check in also with Dr. Kelly Ward. We'll talk about the politics of how Democrats have failed you, now Republicans have failed you, how big ideas and big solutions are not on an agenda of wetting toilet paper and throwing it against the wall. Let's see if this sticks. That's hardly a health care plan. There were two big, huge, deep state stories last night that I want to cover with you on this program because they are critical to if we want the president to have any chance at success, all of these leaks that are coming out, the deep state leaks, intelligence community leaks against him have to be stopped. Now, we give the intelligence community the tools to protect us, and those are powerful, powerful espionage tools where we expect them and need them to spy on America's adversaries and America's enemies. And certainly intelligence gathering is a very key component when it comes to North Korea and Iran and radical Islam and ISIS and al-Qaeda and China and Russia and any other enemy state of this country. And for those people in the intelligence community, and I've said this 1,000,000,000 times, that do this work for us every day, we owe them a debt of gratitude. And many put themselves in harm's way for us, people you will never hear about. And the amount of work they do is and the level of work they do is phenomenal. Now, we've had the instances of 125 leaks confirmed in 126 days against the president. We saw what happened with General Michael Flynn. Michael Flynn, we had raw intelligence. We had certainly the surveillance that we want to be taking place, and Americans identified on the line. They're supposed to practice something called minimization. It wasn't practiced. He was identified. He was, quote, then unmasked. In other words, they named the identity and unmasked the identity of an American, but there was no warrant to legally go after him and spy on him. That's illegal at that point. And when you take the raw intelligence and you leak it like they did to get rid of his job, that is wrong. Sarah Carter, our friend from Circa News, had a headline last night. Is the FBI's general counsel an anti-Trump deep state leaker? And she learned that the FBI's highest ranking internal attorney, an Obama holdover, may be one of the people leaking this classified information, this raw intelligence against Donald Trump and his administration. The FBI's general counsel's name is James Baker, purportedly under a Department of Justice criminal investigation for leaking classified national security information to the media, kind of like what James Comey did. And if you have people that high up doing these types of things, it is not only illegal, a violation of the Espionage Act, it prevents a government from even being able to function. Sarah Carter is with us now. How are you?
I'm doing great, Sean. How are you?
Am I explaining well what the process of intelligence gathering, unmasking, leaking intelligence, and the danger it poses to our country, our government, those people out in the field?
Absolutely. I think you brought it all to a head. I mean, the ability to use these powerful tools, these programs, software programs, other tools that are given to our intelligence community so that they can sift through and target the enemy are essential to preventing attacks, are essential to finding out who the bad guys are, and they're a part of what we entrust our intelligence community to do. And when those are abused, when those systems, which are so powerful, are abused, that's when, or allegedly abused, that's when we have to have great concern. And I think this is why it is so important that investigations continue. The unmasking investigation being conducted by the House Intelligence Committee is one of those investigations. Let's find out what they were looking at. Let's find out what the Obama aides were actually looking at and make a decision based on that. If they were just looking at national security intelligence because it was a need to know and it falls into the purview of what they are allowed to look at, great. That's fantastic. We've closed the book on that. But if they were looking at tech cuts and conversations and emails between people in the Trump administration, those surrounding Trump, or other Americans without a need to know and connected to no national security interests, then I think we really have to revamp what laws we have now and really look at what and who has been using this technology and for what purpose.
It's such a good point. Now, I actually had, when I was in Washington, I met somebody that is very deeply involved in intelligence. I won't say who. It was a private meeting. Number one, I was impressed beyond words can even describe at the work this individual does and how important the work this individual does is for our country and what great intellect and love of country this man has. And I don't know if he was laughing at me because I'm talking about my limited knowledge. You have been involved in this, though, for much longer than I've been, Sarah. But my impression is that there's just a small percentage. And the percentage comes from holdovers from the Obama administration. And the percentage comes from people that were high up in the intel community. And the source of this and some of the fueling of this came from the Obama holdover high ups that maybe even left and that they're actively involved in this. That's the impression I'm beginning to get. And I ran this hypothesis by the person and they just listened. They didn't say anything. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think there needs to be an investigation, and I think people need to be held accountable if they have been illegally leaking classified information, which we know people have. So there has to be both criminal investigations into leaks. You brought one up, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, who was a former national security advisor. There needs to be an investigation into that. We don't know. We know that the Inspector General at the Department of Justice is looking into this, but we don't know if there's an actual criminal investigation looking into this. And we also need to know what it is people like Samantha Power, the former UN ambassador, was looking at. I mean, because it appeared that she was looking at a lot of unmasked conversations between Americans and foreigners, and that she requested those unmaskings. Were those requests done legally? And if they were done legally, were those requests sticking within the purview of, looking at national security issues for the United States? And if not, what was she looking at? Also, Susan Rice. We know that John Brennan as well has admitted to doing this. So there's a long list, and there's many more that will be revealed. So we have to look at all of that. But I can tell you this. I've spent a lot of my career working on intelligence, covering stories that deal with both the intelligence community and overseas in the war zone with our troops. The majority of people within these communities, they're patriots. They want to do the best for our country. They spend their lives doing this, and some of them have given everything for their country, including their lives. So the community itself is a strong, wonderful community that focuses on what's most important for America. And I think what's most unfortunate, and many of the people within the intelligence community have told me, is that now they fear that the American public will look at them as if they're part of whatever was going on. So I think the faster the American people get clarity on what has been going on, the better it will be for the intelligence community. And as far as the deep state, Sean, people really need to understand that according to the sources that I've been speaking with, just as I'm sure you're well aware from the stories that I've published, there is concern that within the Trump administration, there are people, there are holdovers that are working against his policy. Many of them did not expect him to become president, did not want him to become president. And I think that needs to be exposed as well. And that's something that's up to the administration as well as those people that are working with them. How do you know who these people are? I think it's finding hard facts and evidence to expose what's going on and moving forward so that everybody in America can work together towards something much better than what we've been seeing over the past 6 months.
Let me ask you about your former colleague John Solomon's piece about the intelligence chairman, Devin Nunes, accusing Obama aides of hundreds of unmasking requests. This is not an old story in this sense. But it does prove that the congressman was right when he was under fire. But the fact is that the unmasking, we now know in the case of Susan Rice, and I'm told others with high up within the Obama administration, you guys have exposed a 350% increase during the campaign season against the opposition party. Isn't that true?
That is true, and we were able to see that. And I think, like, one of the issues, we were able to prove that, under Obama, they loosened the rules, both John Solomon and I, through documented facts and based on, FISA court documents as well as declassified intelligence documents. And what Chairman Nunes is saying right now, he said that the total request for Americans' names by Obama political aides numbered in the hundreds during just the last year of Obama's office. And, they see a serious lack of justification for all of those unmaskings. This needs to be taken very seriously because this is a civil liberties issue. And if what he's saying is true, if what Chairman Nunes is saying is true and what he's seen is cause for alarm, then there definitely needs to be an investigation into what and why they were unmasking. And let me say something else. Do these unmaskings have any links to the leaks that we've been seeing coming out in the media, especially the detrimental leaks, the political leaks, what people would consider political espionage, not just a leak to warn people about something that's impending or something that could be dangerous to our national security, but leaks that actually were used for political espionage. If those allegations are true, then it's certainly one of the biggest stories in our time.
Totally agree. And what I'm hearing from my sources is they're getting very close and that within days, potentially in the next week, there could be bombshells coming. Are you hearing the same thing or no?
Yes, I am. I'm hearing the same thing. There will certainly be more clarity, and I think there'll be more information as to who and why some of these unmaskings took place and who requested them. So certainly that's something to be watching
out for. Did you ever find out if I was unmasked? Because there had been reports that I had been surveilled and unmasked. Is that true?
Well, like I've said before, I have not found documentation that shows that. But
you've heard what I've heard, that in fact it is true.
I've heard that.
And you've heard it from people that would know.
Yes, I have heard that. And especially depending on who you were talking to overseas. But the interesting thing is, even if you were talking to someone overseas that is potentially a target of a U.S. intelligence agency, they would still keep your name as American number one, you know, unless they felt that they had to unmask it. But if people were allowed to unmask willy-nilly without really having to give a big explanation, if they just said, for national security concerns, I want this name unmasked, well, then they could have easily just unmasked your name with no reason to do so.
All right, take a quick break. More with Sarah Carter, Circa.com, and we'll come back at the bottom of the half hour. Dr. Josh Umber, Dr. Kelly Ward, on what the real solutions to health care are, and much more.
Looking for fake news? You won't find it here. You're with Sean Hannity on the air now.
As we continue, Sarah Carter is with us from Circa.com as we talk about her big blockbuster. The FBI's general counsel could be an anti-Trump deep state leaker. If somebody in that high a position, in other words, the highest ranking attorney, an attorney would know better, wouldn't he? And what is that going to... Here's my question. If people that are discovered leaking intelligence to hurt the president of the United States... that is a crime. I don't think any of this goes away, Sarah, until grand juries are convened, until indictments are handed down, and convictions are given out. Otherwise, what incentive is there for these people to stop?
Yes. I know that is probably one of the biggest concerns right now surfacing in Congress. Many members of Congress are probably not going to vote. Right now, I've been hearing, and I've said this before on your show, that they're probably not going to pass Section 702 of the FISA, which allows, for them to monitor those phone calls overseas, which is so important for our intelligence community. If there isn't some kind of review and if there isn't accountability to what's already happened, you know, the allegations against James A. Baker are serious allegations, and they're just that, they're allegations right now, and that he's allegedly under a criminal investigation for leaking classified national security information. Right now, we're not sure what that information is. It could be that it had something to do with the president, or it could be that it had something to do with a national security issue.
Last question, because I'm running out of time. Are we going to hear a lot of Obama high-ranking names that maybe they have no idea this is all coming out in the next days, weeks, months?
Yes, I believe so. I believe so.
Names that are instantly recognizable.
Yes, I believe so.
All right, Sarah Carter, we really appreciate the great work you're doing. Thank you. Circa.com, Sarah Carter. John Solomon wrote the other article. We got to take a break. We'll come back. We'll get back to the issue of health care, the monumental failure, the key missing ingredient to what you saw unfold in the Senate was a big, solution-oriented, out-of-the-box, free market, capitalistic competition idea. We'll get to that next. Hey, listen, I recently gave my home a facelift, and I did it the simplest, the best way possible. Brand new custom blinds for my friends at Blinds.com. Look, I've transformed every room in my house, and the best thing is you don't break the bank. You can't get better blinds, shades, shutters, and drapes at lower prices at any store. That's just a fact. nor does any store offer you free design consultation. You can do it online, or you can send pictures of your house. They'll send back custom recommendations from a professional. They'll always give you free samples. This way you can check the color, make sure it matches the paint on your walls, the fabric on your furniture. And you know what? You want the perfect blinds that match the perfect room, and you're going to be so happy with the way they look in your house. I like the blinds, too. Press the button. It goes up and down. It's perfect. Every order gets you free shipping. Their prices, no store can beat them. And let's say you accidentally mismeasure, you pick the wrong color. Let not your heart be troubled. They're going to remake those blinds for free. And for three more days, now through the 31st of July, on top of their already low prices, you'll get an additional 20% off at Blinds.com. You just got to mention my name, Hannity, in the promo code. That's Blinds.com, promo code Hannity, for 20% off. All right, got to take a quick break. We'll come back more on the healthcare debate as we check in with Dr. Umber and Dr. Ward. Hannity tonight, 10 Eastern, Senate healthcare failure, failure of leadership. How about a new leader in the Senate? We'll talk about that. Pat Buchanan joins us. Also, Larry Elder, Austin Goolsbee, Geraldo, Matt Schlapp, and Greg Jarrett and Jay Sekulow, 10 Eastern. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour, holding them accountable. I know it's disappointing. And John McCain in an article was actually quoted heading into last night's vote. Oh, you come into the show tonight, right? And in a way, it's like a show. I mean, it was like a sideshow, like a circus. And as I said, rather than the debating the deep principles of health savings accounts, how the American people benefit and how choice and competition and freedom and free markets works for the American people, or talking about these healthcare cooperatives, which I've become like the biggest advocate supporter of. Why? Because any American can have the benefit of concierge care in 24 hour care and low premiums and access to a great doctor 24 hours a day, and it's working all over the place. And it's unbelievable. Anyway, let's just take a little trip down memory lane. Let's listen to John McCain, one of the many times that he had talked about repealing and replacing Obamacare. This one from December of 2015.
It's clear that any serious attempt to improve our health care system must begin with full repeal and replacement of Obamacare, a mission I remain fully committed to fighting on behalf of the people of Arizona.
Oh, okay. That seemed fully, 116% increase in Arizona alone this year. Let's listen to a John McCain radio ad. This promise of the Republicans began in 2010, so he's kept it going all these years. Let's go back to the beginning when he said he would fight to repeal and replace Obamacare.
John McCain leads the charge to slash government spending, bloated bureaucracies, and ridiculously unaffordable ideas like government-run health care.
President Obama is leading an extreme left-wing crusade to bankrupt America. I stand in his way every day. If I get a bruise or two knocking some sense into heads in Washington, so be it. I'll keep fighting for jobs and economic growth for Arizona as long as I'm in the Senate.
And let's go to the moment last night where John McCain cast the no vote, the final vote, the deciding vote against skinny Obamacare repeal, which was kind of weak anyway. Let's go to that moment.
Mr. Peters.
Oh, okay. And then there's the shock, and then there's the happiness, of course, among the Democrats. Oh, and they bear a ton of responsibility for all the lies that they told and the propaganda, and they knew they were lying. Anyway, we have been literally trying on this program for many years to offer solutions. Many years ago, I read a book. It was called Patient Power. It was put out by the Cato Institute. And in the Cato Institute, they wrote the book about healthcare savings accounts. Free market oriented. You're in control of your healthcare dollars. You build it up over the course of your lifetime. In the years that you are healthy, you're building up a big, big account. tax-free. You get to invest it. The money gets to grow. And if you, God forbid, need it at any time, you have it. You also couple it with something that's known as catastrophic care. Catastrophic care is really what insurance is supposed to be about. You know, you have car insurance, what? If in case you get into an accident, then God forbid you hurt somebody else. It was your fault. You damaged their car. Okay, the insurance company covers it. Well, God forbid you get cancer. God forbid you have a heart attack. God forbid you have a bad accident. You know what? Catastrophic care covers those specific incidents, not the, oh, crap, I just cut my finger, I need three stitches type of medical care. But that can be covered in another creative way. Since 2012 on this program, I've been interviewing Dr. Josh Umber. He's with Atlas MD. He joins us now. And that wasn't discussed at all last night. Dr. Umber, thank you for being with us. It's always a privilege and a pleasure. Also, Dr. Kelly Ward, if you remember, she primaried John McCain, didn't win in Arizona the last time. And thank you both for being here. Dr. Umber, I actually feel like I owe you an apology. I started interviewing you. You told me the last time you were on in 2012, right?
Correct.
And I've asked you on this program, I've taken hours of your life away. True or false?
True. Hours of my staff's time away. I mean, we probably had 1,000 phone calls last week. I mean, America wants direct care.
And so I'm responsible for all this extra work you've done. I don't pay guests to be on this program. And I've even encouraged you to go to Washington to meet with Secretary Price. And you've been to Washington how many times explaining Atlas MD's model?
Several times, and meeting over the phone with or by email with even more legislators.
And then when you watch this blank show going on last night where, oh, let's wet toilet paper down and throw it against the wall, that's the type of legislation we'll build. What were you thinking? Because I know what I was thinking.
Oh, sick to my stomach. Yeah, we put these people there because they advertise themselves as leaders fighting for their constituents, and the first opportunity, they took their tail and run.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now, Dr. Kelly Ward, you ran against John McCain. You warned us that this was going to happen, that he'd change. And I want to be clear. I've said this before. I say it again. I've gotten along with McCain at times, and we've had, brutal, knockdown, drag-out battles between us because I just can't stand a lot of his positions. And I do wish him well. I'm sorry about his diagnosis, but what he did last night to me is almost unforgivable based on his own words. It's horrible.
Sean, you're exactly right. And, I'm praying for Senator McCain and his family as he's facing this terrible illness. But guess what? That vote last night is exactly why I tried to stop Senator McCain in 2016. It's why I'm still running in 2018 to try to stop those D.C. establishment insider swampy politicians who will say and do anything to get reelected. Meanwhile, just like Senator McCain, betraying voters by casting votes like this to preserve Obamacare. Now we have Americans who are suffering. When he called it a show, that just burned me up. Americans are suffering under these skyrocketing premiums, under deductibles they can't afford, getting care that is of lower quality. There's no choice, no competition, no freedom, no free market. So I thank Dr. Umber for what he's doing. I will tell you that in Arizona, I sponsored the direct primary care bill that preserved it for our great state, and I will continue to fight for the free market.
I've always believed that sometimes things happen for a reason in life, and I do believe that when the Republican Party has to look themselves in the mirror today and remember, and as they get reminded in their districts of everything they said about repeal and replace, I am hopeful, perhaps, I don't know, maybe I view this Pollyannishly in a way that I don't know, but I'm kind of believing that they might see that they screwed up pretty bad here, and I'm hoping this opens the door, Dr. Umber, for your cooperative. Now, why do I want your cooperative? Because I love the idea, as a guy that was broke in my life, that I could have had $50 a month care from you. I would have loved that. 24-hour access to you when I did something stupid and I needed stitches.
Everybody needs that. The free market, Bono has said that capitalism has been the greatest tool for saving people from poverty. And the free market will be the greatest tool for making health care affordable because it makes everything affordable. And the Republicans argue that they stand for that, but then when given the opportunity to help essentially every American get affordable care for $50 a month, unlimited visits, no copays, medicine's 95% cheaper. Why are they not joining you to you know, raise awareness about this?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you don't have to be the smartest guy, but you know what's missing? Where's the Republican Party that has an identity like that believes in free markets and capitalism and choice and competition? You know, where's the innovative solutions, health savings accounts and following Dr. Umber's models? You know, but with the exception of Ted Cruz and the Freedom Caucus in the House and a few others, I know I'm not naming everybody, but they really stand out in this whole debate to me. There's not been a whole lot of creative solution thinking here.
Oh, you're exactly right, Sean. It's not a surprise that two of the GOP sellouts last night, Murkowski and McCain, just won re-election to six more years in Washington. So they can afford to give cover to, unfortunately, the slimy GOP that exists that is not standing up for small government and low taxes and personal responsibility and fighting for our Constitution. They want to give cover to each other so they just stay and the status quo is maintained. We need the patient power plan. That was my plan that I put into place last year. It does revolve around health savings accounts and catastrophic care coverage and returning Medicaid to the state. We also need senators in Washington, D.C. who are going to support the president and put America first. And we don't have that, unfortunately.
No, we don't have that. And I hope when they go back to the drawing board, they get there. The bottom line is this has to be solved. I mean, one of the things the president tweeted out at 2:25 in the morning this morning that I agree with is, okay, well, you own Obamacare. And I said from the beginning, it's collapsing. Every big insurer has said it's collapsing. And maybe when the Democrats, without any of the bad stuff now taken away through the skinny repeal, now maybe that the Democrats own this thing hook, line, and sinker, those that they offered no ideas, they burden the American people with this. They didn't want to join in any solution with the Republicans, and all they've been are obstructionists. Well, they own their failure, hook, line, and sinker. And at some point, they're going to have to realize it's catastrophic for them, too, because both sides have failed the American people now.
We're going to have to depend on you, Sean, and strong conservative voices like you have, because the media, the mainstream media, is going to spin this in a way that blames it on Republicans and on the GOP and on President Trump. And that is completely unacceptable. So we out here, we the people who are the little guy, who are supposed to be represented in this great republic, we're depending on you. We're depending on people like me. We're depending on people like Dr. Umber to provide the care. So that we truly get what we want, what we need, what we deserve in terms of our health care, rather than waiting for us to tell the government that we don't deserve it. And I hope people will join me, Sean, KellyWard.com. Come and find out how we're going to change Washington in 2018.
All right, stay right there. Dr. Umber, Dr. Kelly Ward, 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. All right, we have some breaking news, obviously, out of Washington. I can only interpret the other side of this. The president just tweeted out, I am pleased to inform you that I have just named General Secretary John F. Kelly as the White House Chief of Staff. He is a great American. I can only interpret from that, and we know a lot of what has been going on the last number of days. And, of course, the New York Post cover headline, Survivor Today, and all the pictures of everybody on it. And I can only assume from that tweet that Reince Priebus has either resigned or was asked to leave, or I'm not sure, maybe he's taken another position. I guess we'll know in the next hour as the program unfolds. But the president just tweeting out, I am pleased to inform you that I have just named General Secretary John Kelly as White House Chief of Staff. He's a great American. My guess is General Kelly is being brought in, and this is only a hypothesis. There have been rumors now running around for a long, long time. One of the things that I have never liked, there's been different factions within the White House. And, you know, Kellyanne, I thought, said it really well the other day. It's like they're leaking stuff to put a shiv in the other person's back. And, you know, when a president has the deep state against them and the Democrats against them and the media against them and, you know, Republicans that have never liked him and that behind closed doors, they attack him. And then the never Trumpers saying, see, we told you so. And doing everything they can do, and they would have helped elect Hillary Clinton in the process. It has been an unprecedented attack against the administration, and none of it surprises me. Anyway, we're going to get more details when we come back at the News Roundup Information Overload Hour. We're going to give you as much information as we can on General Kelly. I'm getting information now from my sources in Washington as we talk. And what's that? Greg Jarrett, my friend from the Fox News Channel, legal analyst, is with us. You know, we've been getting rumors about this. We saw the Survivor post cover today. What are your initial impressions? He doesn't say specifically that Reince has left, but we have to assume that, right?
Yeah, I would assume so. And look, you know, as you and I were talking off camera last night, this feud between Scaramucci and Priebus is, you know, it's kind of like Cersei versus Khaleesi in Game of Thrones. But this is nothing new in the White House. There are always power struggles. People automatically assume this is a bad thing. I'm not so sure that it's a bad thing. I mean, look, during the Kennedy presidency, LBJ and Bobby Kennedy were forever bickering. They loathed one another. During Reagan's presidency, it was Don Regan versus Nancy Reagan, and we know how that turned out. And he had a successful presidency. And, you know, even during Bill Clinton's presidency, you know, Dick Morris and Hillary Clinton were going at it tooth and nail. George Bush administration, it was Dick Cheney and Don Rumsfeld versus Colin Powell. So, you know, this isn't unusual. And, you know, we finally found out who won on this particular episode of Game of Thrones, and it was Scaramucci.
Yeah. All right. Well, Greg, stay with us, and we're going to come back. We'll take a quick break here. Our news roundup, information overload. Glad, you know, one thing, we're able to get it in this hour. So we'll come back. We'll deal with the breaking news situation. If you're just joining us, just getting in your car, President Trump has tweeted out, "I am pleased to inform you that I've just named General Secretary John F. Kelly as a White House Chief of Staff. He's a great American." We'll talk about the fallout from that, the pluses, the minuses, what this all means on the other side of this break. We'll also get to your calls. And, yeah, you know what? We're going to have our Florida-Georgia Line Friday concert series. Of course we have to have it. It's Friday. You got to put a smile on your face. We'll come back. We'll talk about the breaking news and much more straight ahead.
I want to congratulate John Kelly, who has done an incredible job of Secretary of Homeland Security. Incredible. One of our real stars. Truly one of our stars. John Kelly is one of our great stars. You know, the border's down 78%. Under past administrations, the border didn't go down, it went up. But if it went down 1%, it was like this was a great thing. Down 78%.
All right, that was earlier today at the MS-13 issue. You know, here I am in Long Island, and we got gangs of MS-13, 800-941-SEAN. If you want to be a part of the program, I literally am coming on the air. I just spoke to Reince Priebus. He resigned. He's going to tell his story tonight. He's going to be on Hannity on the TV show. I didn't know. I mean, we've heard rumors, et cetera, that this might ultimately happen. And this is what we do know is that, in fact, the president tweeted out just a short time ago that he, in fact, the issue about, hang on, William Kelly, who we just announced, was coming through. I'm pulling up the tweet. "I'm pleased to inform you that I just named General Secretary John F. Kelly as the White House Chief of Staff. He is a great American, and the details of which will come through tonight, as Reince Priebus was just telling me that he resigned, and he has no issues with the president. He's happy, and that, you know, he felt he did the best he can." Let me just add one thing to all of this. And I've been to the White House. I have been there in the Bush years, and I've been there during the Trump administration. And there's always this intramural fighting, squabbling, et cetera, that goes on there. This is nothing new. I remember when Ronald Reagan put Howard Baker in place and Iran-Contra, the benefit that Reagan had, that was much later in his presidency, and he had a chance to lay out his agenda. The circumstances under which everybody in the Donald Trump White House is working are beyond extraordinary and beyond the scope of difficulty of any presidency I have seen in my lifetime. Now, why do I say that? I say that because I've been trying to explain as intensely as I can these forces that have been trying ever so hard to drive this president out, create as much chaos and
delegitimize him and stop his agenda. There really is a swamp in Washington, D.C., or a sewer, or anything else you want to call it. It is all true. When I tell you that, and we had Sarah Carter on in the stories that we just broke in the last hour, when I tell you that these deep state leaks, more than seven times what the previous two administrations have had to deal with, coming in on a daily basis, has been like for this White House and the pressure that it has put on everybody that works there, you just don't, you have to put yourself in their shoes, in their position. It is extraordinarily difficult. Every single person in the White House would rather wake up every day and not have to deal with a media and that is Russia, 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 Russia. I played for you earlier, Maxine Waters. And Maxine, my time, what was the exact words, Linda?
I'd like to reclaim my time.
I'd like to reclaim my
time. Reclaiming my time.
Those are all individual times she said it. I mean, I feel like you're not watching people in the Democratic Party. They don't want one thing of this president to succeed. Not one Democrat even considered going over and helping repeal the disaster of Obamacare, which means they own it. Their lies sold it. Their failure is right there on display for everybody to see. Not one of the promises were kept. So you put the five forces against the president that I talk about. The most dangerous is the deep state. The most dangerous is the intelligence community. The most dangerous, if you have the top counsel within the FBI leaking intelligence on your president, and you have the FBI director taking government property and private conversations with the president and leaking them to the New York Times, some of it classified information. That is a crime. When I say 125 leaks in 126 days, that is a felony in each and every instance. And then you add a media, so you got the deep state, constant leaking. We are going to discover in the days and weeks ahead, as Sarah Carter suggested to us, that this deep state leaking is coming from Obama holdovers, top well-known names within the Obama administration. You know, Susan, what's her name? Susan worked for the Obama administration. Susan Rice, yeah. That's only one. Either next week or the week after, I know of three other names that are out there. Three. The intelligence community is filled with good people that are protecting our country. And we give them the tools of intelligence to battle back against ISIS, radical Islamists, Al-Qaeda, China, North Korea, Iran, Russia, and all these other countries that want to bring harm to us. But if a 0.1% of the intelligence communities turns the tools of intelligence against the American people, and they unmask them, and they leak raw intelligence, that's the predicate of a police state, the foundations of a police state. So to finish my thought here, as the president names General Kelly, General John Kelly is the White House Chief of Staff, I can only tell you that the deep state, the Democratic No Party that wants to destroy the president, the media that has only advanced one narrative against this president, ignoring Debbie Wasserman Schultz, ignoring Hillary's crimes and felonies and the Clinton crime family, ignoring a Uranium One deal, a real Russia conspiracy, ignoring Loretta Lynch, ignoring James Comey. So the media is corrupt. The deep state's corrupt. The top, that only 0.1% of the deep state that leaks, because they've got an agenda to take the president down because he wants to drain the swamp. And then you add to that the Democrats, you add to that the media, then you add to that Republicans that I know go behind closed doors. They don't want the president to succeed. I'll start calling them out soon by name and what they say by quotations. Then the Never Trumpers. These are the conditions that everybody in that White House has had to work under, unprecedented and difficult and arduous and not focused on an agenda, but focused on leaks and focused on a media and focused on you know, impeachment from day one. We found out that, in fact, there had been spying on the Trump campaign. Spying. But opposition. We looked at the unmasking rate in this country during the election season went up 350%. And you might say, well, Reince Priebus didn't get this done, or they'll stop the leaking or get that done. Okay. You can say whatever you want. But I'm telling you that anybody that's working in that environment now, it's almost political warlike conditions that is being waged against them. And for that, I thank Reince. I wish General Kelly well. I wish everybody in that White House well. Because they have made it the single most difficult situation I think I've ever seen any White House have to work under. Regardless of what some people think, I know the reality. I've been there. I've seen it. I talk to the people there. Jeffrey Lord's been there himself. Greg Jarrett, my Fox News colleague, friend, and lawyer. We've been talking about all of this for a long time. Jeff, you've been in the Reagan White House. Is anything I'm saying here untrue?
No, it is not untrue. And although I would say I was there when Don Regan was fired, and I can only tell you it was a lot worse than this. Don Regan, of course, had gotten caught up in the Iran-Contra scandal. Mrs. Reagan wanted him fired. He'd managed to make a real enemy out of her, which was not a good thing to do. And the president finally decided to let him go. Well, the problem is somehow this leaked, of course, to, I believe, CNN, which was the only cable outlet going in those days. And Don Regan is in his office, the chief of staff's office, and hears this on television, that he is being fired and replaced with Howard Baker. Suffice to say, this is a man who had a temper. He was not a happy camper. He turned to his secretary, dictated a one-sentence line that said, "I hereby resign, dear Mr. President, I hereby resign as chief of staff to the President of the United States," signed Donald T. Regan. Instructed his staff person to deliver it to the Oval Office and walked out just as the president was calling, and to which Regan replies, "I'm sorry, Mr. President, it's too late," hangs up, leaves the building, never ever to return.
And then he wrote a book.
Do you agree these are unprecedented? Tell you a little anecdote here.
Well, let me get Greg in just for one second, then hold on to that anecdote if you can, Jeff. I want to ask you, Greg, are these as unprecedented times as I'm describing? Is this accurate on my part?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that this is a White House that is under siege by relentless leaks. And, of course, we learned, you know, just yesterday that a top FBI lawyer by the name of James A. Baker, a close confidant of fired FBI Director Comey, is now suspected of leaking classified information. Not a surprise, as we discussed on the air last night, you know, the FBI now thinks it's a noble thing to leak to the media after Deep Throat and Mark Felt, who was the number two at the FBI. And then when James Comey made it public recently about his leaks, and his leaks may go all the way back, you know, 10, 15 years from the time he was at the Department of Justice to one particular reporter by the name of Schmidt. I mean, so, you know, this is just one aspect of what the president is dealing with, people who are out to get him and are trying to undermine him through leaks.
I've never seen it. What's your anecdote, Jeff Lord?
Yeah, I mean, Greg is right about this, and my anecdote plays directly to this. Last night, I was on CNN, and I think I was on with Josh Green, from Bloomberg, who's written this book called Devil's Bargain about Donald Trump and Steve Bannon and all of this. And I believe he said this on air, but he certainly said it to me off air, that yesterday morning, Josh Green, was on CNN's show there, co-hosted by Chris Cuomo, and Anthony Scaramucci called in and gets into this on-air debate with Chris Cuomo. While this is happening, Josh Green is sitting there being texted by members of the White House staff saying this is a car crash and hurling all sorts of anti-Scaramucci insults, while Scaramucci himself is on the phone, on air, on CNN. I got to tell you, I have never heard of anything like that. I mean, that is truly astonishing and speaks to exactly the problem that you were talking about in terms of the swamp and that Greg is talking about. I mean, this is
all right,
is
guys, stay right there, though. I want to keep you both
inside the White House, and they got to go.
All right, we're going to you just see it. I mean, it's everywhere.
Heinz is a good man. John Kelly will do a fantastic job. General Kelly has been a star. Done an incredible job thus far, respected by everybody. A great, great American. Reince Priebus, a good man. Thank you very much.
That was the president getting on to, I guess, getting on or off Air Force One.
He was getting off.
He was getting off after his trip to Long Island. By the way, did you see all the MS-13 guys that are literally within a stone's throw from where I live? Amazing. You know, these gangs have spread like cancer all across the country, and I know Los Angeles has dealt with this for years. So has every big city. It's everywhere. We better do something to get rid of these gangs. Anyway, the president tweeting out just a short time ago that, quote, I'm pleased to inform you I have just named General Secretary John F. Kelly as the chief of staff. I can give you a little bit. He said he's a great American and a great leader, and John has done a spectacular job at Homeland Security. He's been a true star in my administration. He's the fifth and current U.S. Homeland Security Secretary and retired U.S. Marine Corps General, although you're never a retired Marine. You're always a Marine, former commander, United States Southern Command, unified combatant, command responsible for American military operations in Central America and South America and the Caribbean. And he previously served in the as the commanding general of the multinational force, which was in Iraq in February 2008 to 2009, commander of the Marine Forces Reserve, Marine Forces North in October 2009. And he was succeeded by General Douglas M. Frazier, et cetera, et cetera. We'll give you more of his background as we continue throughout the day. We'll come back. We'll also open up the phones. We'll continue. Our friends Jeff Lord and Greg Jarrett are patiently standing by for us. Reince Priebus is going to be on Hannity tonight at 10 Eastern on the Fox News Channel. He decided to put in his resignation, which I did not know until literally this announcement came over on Twitter. There's been a lot of talk, but I will tell you this. This White House, these conditions have been the single most difficult for anybody I've ever seen in my lifetime. And working under these conditions of the deep state, the Democratic obstructionists, weak Republicans, abusively biased media on the attack, has, you know, it'll fray anybody's patience.
Breaking news now. Here's Sean Hannity.
All right, glad you're with us. 25 now till the top of the hour. We have some breaking news out of Washington, and the president tweeted out a little less than an hour ago, I'm pleased to inform you that I have just named the General Secretary John F. Kelly as the White House Chief of Staff. He is a great American, a great leader, and John has also done a spectacular job at Homeland Security, he goes on to say, and he's been a true star of my administration. His replacement has been named Elaine C. Duke. She was sworn in as the 7th Deputy Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, and so she will now be taking over for him. I want to add, before I get back to Jeff Lord, and hopefully my friend Greg Jarrett is going to be back with us. I know he had to run somewhere. I want to say one thing about Reince Priebus, and I want to say one thing about the conditions again about working in this White House. Every White House comes under fire. Saw it with the Clinton administration. It happened late in his administration, the second term, although the first term was so rocky. But then after 2 years and Newt Gingrich coming to power in 94, Bill Clinton ended up getting a ton of things done for the country. And which is what he is always going to be remembered for, being impeached and having to pay out a judgment and lying to the American people, et cetera, et cetera. Monica Lewinsky, that's never going away.
But the welfare reform that was driven by Congress was because of a vision. Newt Gingrich, Contract with America. We ended up with a balanced budget. We haven't had one since because of Newt Gingrich, Contract with America, and Bill Clinton, the practical side of him, something we never saw in Barack Obama, was far more pragmatic. He was a Southern governor and a so-called more conservative governor. We got things done for the country. And we were better off as a result of them being able to work together. And I watched Reince Priebus up close and personal. I know him personally. I've always liked him, always. I know he's taken a lot of heat. But what Reince Priebus has done throughout the campaign, he brought a lot of the Republican, not they can't bring them all on board, but he has had to manage the one of the five groups of people trying to destroy the president and stop his agenda and delegitimize him. He has worked tirelessly to do that for his country. And in that sense, we owe him a debt of gratitude. And seeing up close the deep state and the daily leaking, daily, you're in the middle of trying to get health care repeal and replace done. Excuse me, now you got to deal with another deep state leak. That was his day every day. And then you can add to that the Democrats, they want no success from the administration, no help, zero whatsoever. And then you got to deal with the insanity of the games they're playing every day. That's part of the job of the chief of staff. Then you've got a media that has been fixated on one phony narrative, Russia, Russia, Russia. That's on your plate, breaking news every single day and breathless reporting every single day. Then you've got to deal with Republicans. I'll give you, I know behind closed Senate doors, for example, top Republicans trashing the president, not wanting to help him, wanting him to fail too, because they want to be proven right. Then you got the never Trumpers. I'll just push them aside. So to get the job done and get it organized, then within the White House, you have different factions leaking. And there are factions. It just became, to me, the single most difficult environment. And yet, during the campaign, he was able to help significantly, guide the president, help the president, assist the president, then the candidate into winning, you know, beating out everybody and then winning. He had to thread the needle as the RNC chairman, and there was a lot of infighting and a lot of influence this one and that one, and then helped the president when he got into office. And so I know some people are, you know, I don't care what social media says in any way. I know some people are giddy and happy. This is the change we need. Whatever. It might end up being a good thing. I don't know for everybody. I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. But I will tell you that he has served his country with great honor and great distinction, and the president with great honor and great distinction. And that's it. And that's the person that I've known. And, you know, in that sense, I thank him because I've watched how hard it's been. During the campaign, I watched how hard it's been with all those forces lining up against the president in the White House. That's just a fact. We continue with Jeff Lord, and we continue with Greg Jarrett. Jeff, I'll go to you first. Your thoughts on where we are now and what this means.
Yeah, well, I think your thoughts there about Reince Priebus are correct. I think he's a terrific guy, et cetera. This is, and I want to make sure that I clarify here what I was saying earlier about the Don Regan thing. I just meant in terms of how a chief of staff goes out. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump is doing it the right way. It was done the wrong way in the case of Don Regan. But what you are describing is exactly correct in terms of the swamp. And all you have to do, Sean, is just look at the stories that pop up in the media almost every day. Two examples being one that you discussed earlier today with Sarah Carter about this James Baker at the FBI, who's being investigated for leaking here, and another one that appeared I think this week was some guy over at the EPA venting his dissatisfaction with the way the EPA is being run, and I'm not even sure that this is the same guy from the EPA who was upset that he was being removed from his position in Alaska with doing this, that, or the other thing on climate change. These are just two of hundreds of examples that we are going to find from the quote-unquote deep state, people who really believe that they have a God-given right to power and a God-given right to liberal power, and as it's institutionalized in Washington, and that Donald Trump is the outsider, capital O, and they're going to do everything in their power to sabotage him. And I do mean everything. And it runs the gamut from writing op-eds in the Washington Post to leaking information to Maxine Waters talking about impeachment. I mean, these people really do believe that this is their private preserve. And you contrast this with all these people that you and I have seen at these Trump rallies. I mean, good and decent, hardworking people, and their tax cut dollars go to fund all of this stuff. And these people in Washington and the swamp, as it were, have nothing but contempt for them. Nothing but contempt. I mean, this is totally unhealthy. And the people I talk to here in the middle of Pennsylvania every day are just thrilled beyond belief that Donald Trump is there and that he is specifically who he is so that he can take these people on.
Greg Jarrett, your thoughts.
Well, look, first-year presidents face enormous challenges. They have to pick cabinet secretaries, top administration posts. They have to articulate their domestic policy, tell Congress and the American people what they want to accomplish, establish leadership on foreign policy. And they do it, Sean, primarily through a coterie of loyalists that are, you know, in and around the Oval Office. And this is where President Trump has been at a disadvantage. When Ronald Reagan came into office, he had spent two terms as California governor. He had developed this coterie of loyalists, you know, Ed Meese, Lynn Nofsinger, Michael Deaver. He brought in James Baker, a Washington pro, and they surrounded the president. They would have done anything for him. They were devoted to him. President Trump, because he's never held public office before, doesn't have that pod of loyalists. He brought in people from the outside, including Reince Priebus and Steve Bannon and Sean Spicer and so forth. And I think he is beginning to realize that he needs more devoted, loyal people surrounding him, which is why he brought in Anthony Scaramucci. And, you know, I talked to Reince Priebus, I don't know, about 6 weeks ago. I couldn't tell if he was exhausted from the job or despondent over his role in the administration, which I think he could sense was beginning to evaporate. And I think it came to a head yesterday when he resigned, and we see it today with his successor in John Kelly, who, by the way, may be exactly the tonic that this president needs as chief of staff.
I just know, Greg, because I was out there. I mean, I was on the campaign trail. I did the town halls with the president, and I watched what happened when he came on board. And, you know, maybe I just have sympathy for the conditions under which the people are working here. You know, I've been so critical. We saw the madness that was unfolding on the Senate floor last night, and it was madness. It is inexcusable that the party for 7 years that was and the giddy Democrats, they make me more angry because they're happy that we keep in place their lies and their fraudulent claims about keeping doctors in care and plans and saving $2,500 a year, and premiums are up on average $8,000 a year. They're happy that stays in place. And then the Republicans for 7 years, you know, the only thing we get is the skinny plan, and they can't even get that through. I don't hear the intellectual advancement of you know, healthcare savings accounts and healthcare cooperatives. We had Josh Umber on the program and Dr. Kelly Ward on the program. I've been talking about these things for 15, 20 years, for crying out loud.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the other disadvantage that President Trump is seeing. He does not have a strong counterpart down Pennsylvania Avenue at Capitol Hill. He's got a couple of guys that haven't come through for him. You know, the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, and Mitch McConnell. And it's an enormous disappointment for him. And I think, quite honestly, he may have been relying on Reince Priebus and his skills and relationships to be able to lend a helping hand in that regard. And may have been disappointed that he wasn't getting it from Priebus. That may have also contributed to Priebus's departure.
Yeah. Jeff?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, it just, to be perfectly candid, absolutely astonishes me about how bad the Republican majority on Capitol Hill has been. I mean, they should have been ready, I mean, you've said this 1,000 times. I've said this. The day after President Trump was sworn in, these people should have gathered in a room or on the Capitol steps and said, here's the health care repeal. Here's the plan. They didn't have it. And then when you watch last night, I mean, I was watching this. I mean, anybody who was awake was riveted to this. This is absolutely appalling. And this comes from weak leadership. I mean, I hate to say this. I really like Paul Ryan. He and I both worked for Jack Kemp, although at different times. But, I mean, what are these people about? And I think the surprise here to me, which is a great surprise, Ted Cruz, who started out as the, you know, sort of outsider and the thorn in the side of all these people, is proving to be one real serious United States senator. And he is dogged in sticking with this. And I really think that that's a good thing. He's got a good relationship with the president at this point, and I wish him the best. But this is a fight, and Capitol Hill is filled with these people.
I just want to add one thing. You know, I had a lot of meetings in D.C. this week, and I'm kind of worn out, and I'm, you know, here we are, more breaking news late on a summer Friday. You know, I used to take off occasionally on a summer Friday. Not anymore. There's no chance. It's not happening. They won't even let me off. I mean, and by the way, and Jeff has to go in and listen to 15 people yell at him at one time. It's amazing what goes on over at his network. And I hear they don't like me over there, Jeff, for some reason. And I'm there constantly, you know.
But I love to quote you on air, Sean.
You know, I bet they love that we're friends and we've been friends forever. I'm really proud of you. You want to hear a funny story? Greg, so one day I'm watching, you know, there's David Axelrod, there's Van Jones, there's, you know, 50 million Democrats and Anderson Cooper hosting, and everybody is beating the crap out of my buddy Jeff Lord. I'm writing, I'm like, can I come and help? Can I call in? Can I do anything?
I mean, and I saw it. I looked down at the commercial break and I started laughing and I thought, how do I explain this to these people?
Yeah. How do I explain? Hannity just said he wants to call in and talk to me because he feels this is an unfair panel and it's certainly not balanced. Well, we all have senses of humor, but I will say this, and Greg, you know this, and Jeff, you know this. I know with my meetings this week, there's going to be a huge reveal on deep state and Obama people involved in leaking.
Seeing it already. Nunes.
I mean, there's no question.
Sent to Dan Coats is astonishing.
Yes, it is. Hundreds.
People
hundreds.
Like John Brennan, Samantha Power in particular, and Susan
Ben Rhodes.
Rice. Yep. We're behind all of this.
We're going to hear all these names in the weeks ahead. You know what? In the end, I want to see all this unfold. And I remain confident knowing what I learned this week, that everything is going to start. The big reveal is on its way. Listen, you guys have been awesome. Thank you, Jeff Lord. And my prayers over there at that network place you work at. And Greg, we're going to see you on TV tonight, I believe, on Hannity. Thanks for being with us. Reince Priebus will join us tonight, 10 Eastern on Hannity. He did resign, and General Kelly has now replaced him. We'll give you an update on all the latest news and information tonight at 10. By the way, many thanks to my staff who's been killing it today and certainly working overtime, you know, grabbing the latest information and feeding it to me as I'm on the air. It's hard to do two things at once. And they keep me up to speed, which I appreciate. They always do that. All right, Reince Priebus will join us on Hannity tonight. He has resigned as the chief of staff. General Kelly, Secretary of Homeland Security Kelly, has been named as White House chief of staff. We'll ask Reince what was going on, what happened. And we'll talk a little bit about the forces that are lining up against the president. Those have Jay Sekulow, Sarah Carter, Greg Jarrett, so many others. 10 Eastern. Have a great weekend. We'll see you back here on Monday.